Shalom Aleichem, welcome on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Tainus Daf Dalit, Tainus 4a, pagination page 7. About a quarter of the way down on the page, the beginning of the line is Vigomer, Vav Gimel Vav. And then we begin. Our topic is prayers and how they get answered, and that a person should be careful with what type of prayer they make. I remember a basic hashkafa that was often mentioned in yeshiva is the awareness that if you keep davening for something, you have to daven with an expectation that Hashem may very well grant you your prayer. For years, people were davening for the release of Russian Jewry from behind the Iron Curtain. And a person should be ready enough that they're ready to absorb the Russian Jews into the yeshiva system if indeed their tefillah should be granted. They had this as a common theme in Eretz Yisrael. If Chas V'Shalom, the rain would not come as it is so needed, so they would go out to daven for rain. And if indeed it was hot and no rain for so many weeks until they finally had a fast day and a day of prayer, so people weren't focused that it's going to rain. If you're going out to daven as a community, you have to expect it to rain. And on at least one occasion, the rabbi sent them back to their homes that they should come out with their raincoats. You have to expect that it's going to rain if you're going to daven for it. And we have over here examples of three people who davened, and they did not fully appreciate the ramification of what they were saying. And the Gemara says two of them, Baruch Hashem, were blessed that their requests were granted in a positive way. But one of the stories ends up with a terribly tragic ending. The Gemara says, Omer Rab Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rab Yonason, Shlosha Shualu Shalo Kehogen. There are three people noteworthy in Tanakh that asked incorrectly. L'shnayim Heshivuhu Kehogen. Two of them were answered in a good way. L'echad Hoshivuhu Shalo Kehogen. And one of them was answered in a bad way. Ve'elu hein, and these are the three people, Eliezer Eved Avraham, Eliezer, the loyal servant of Avraham in his famous quest for a wife for Yitzchak in Parshas Chayei Sarah, Vishaul ben Kish, and the story of Shaul, the first king of the Jewish people, Ve'yiftach ha-Gil-Odi, and Yiftach, the shofet, the judge, mentioned in the book of Shoftim, the book of Judges. And the Gemara explains, Eliezer Eved Avraham Dechsiv. What did Eliezer do? He said, V'haya ha-na'ara, he davened, the young lady, the woman, the girl, Asher Omar Eleo, that I'll tell her, Atina Kadech, I'll ask you to tip your bucket so that I can drink. Yachal afilu chigeres afilu suma. The first girl to the well, even if she's lame, even if she's blind, you're going to take her as a wife for your master's son. Heshivo kehogen, but his prayer was answered in a good way. V'nizdamna lo Rivka, and such a worthy girl, the destined bashert of Yitzchak, was the one that was presented to him immediately as he completed his prayer. So even though he wasn't right in asking in the way he did, but the first girl out ended up being the right one, and it turned out well. Shaul ben Kish, a similar story with Shaul, Dichsiv, he said, V'aya ish ashayakenu ya'ashrenu ha-melech osher gadol. The person who will strike Goliath will be rewarded with great wealth, ve'esbito yitein lo, and also he'll be given the princess, the daughter of the king's hand in marriage, Yochal afilu eved afilu mamzer. How does Shaul know who's going to end up being victorious in this battle? Maybe it'll be a person who doesn't have good lineage, and he's already marrying off his daughter without knowing who. I mean, talk about blind dates. Heshivu kahogen, but Hashem granted him his wish in a good way. V'nizdam en lo David, and of all people that should be successful and earn the hand of the princess in marriage, it turned out to be David, who was a noble person, and it turned out well. The Gemara continues, though, with the negative example. Yiftach ha-gil odi. Regarding Yiftach, dichsiv, the Pasuk says, V'hoya ha-yotze asher yetze midal sebesi. If I'm victorious in this battle, so the first that greets me when I come home, I'm going to bring as a sacrifice to Hashem. Yochal afilu dover tamei. What happens if it turns out to be something that's not kosher? An animal that's not kosher, he's going to bring it as a sacrifice to Hashem. That's not honorable. Where does he come to make such a prayer, such a vow? Heshiva shalo kahogen, and indeed he was answered not in a good way. Nizdamna lovito, the first one out of his house to greet him, turned out to be his daughter. And that was the terrible tragedy described here, that Yiftach decided to impose his vow and told his daughter that he's indeed going to kill her to fulfill his vow. And it was absurd. There was no reason for him to do that, but he set himself up for something that ended up being very bad. V'hainu deko'omalu hunavil Yisrael, and these are the words of the prophet. Hatzari ein begilad. There's no medicine in that place called Gilad. Im rofe ein sham. There's no doctor to heal things. Because what Yiftach should have done is that this was a vow of devotion to Hashem to show his gratitude for victory in battle. And now that it turns out that his vow was worded absurdly, whoever comes out first from the doors of my house should be a sacrifice. Now that he realizes how absurd it was, he should have done Ataras Nedorim, which works on such vows. Vows of devotion to Hashem. Vows of charity. Things like that. You could annul the vow. And he should have done that. Uksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ashalo tzivisi velo dibarti velo olsa alibi. This was not my intent, Hashem said. I had no intent that such a thing should happen. This is not Torah. Now, on this topic of Yiftach and the dilemma that he found himself in, he made a vow and he was very devoted to his vow, ended up killing his daughter. So Tosfos over here elaborates very beautifully that the fault, the blame of her death lay squarely both on Yiftach and on Pinchas, who was the leader of the generation. Yiftach should have gone to Pinchas to annul his vow, and if Yiftach didn't come to Pinchas, Pinchas, who heard about the dilemma, should have gone to Yiftach. The problem was they both stood on ceremony. Yiftach felt, ani shofet, I'm a judge, gasus ruach, he was haughty about it, and Pinchas likewise stood on ceremony, Ano Novi, I'm the prophet, they should come to me. And between both of them standing on ceremony, the girl ended up being killed by Yiftach. Libesov Tosfos says, Ne'enshu Shenehem, and they were both punished for it because their behavior was totally inappropriate and ended up in a terrible tragedy. A lot of times in life, we see people stand on ceremony, and I certainly don't want to compare the tragedy described here with other examples that occur on a daily basis, but it's not a smart thing. People stand on ceremony. Who calls who? There's nothing wrong with calling somebody a second, a third, and fourth time if they just don't see how important it is to advocate for something important, for someone who's suffering. there's nothing wrong. There's no reason to stand on ceremony. Who calls who? The attitude ought to be, if it's a good thing, let's make it happen. If it's going to protect someone who's in need, let's do what needs to be done. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.